Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Party!
The podcast that brings you everything about football in Mzanzi and beyond. Today, I am Bacardi editor John T. Mark, and I am joined by our regular guest, Mr. Sibongiseni Gumbi.
You.
And a new face in the studio today.
A new signing.
A new signing for the Balls to the Wall podcast. Katlego Modiba, newly appointed at the Citizen newspaper, our Tshwane correspondent, covers all things Sundowns and SuperSport United. Welcome, Katlego.
Yes, good morning, Jonty, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
This week we're going to discuss, we've been away for a couple of weeks, so we're going to do more of a general assessment of how the season has gone so far for the big clubs, starting with Kaizer Chiefs. And the answer is obviously not so well. They've made it into the MTN 8 semi-finals, where they will play Mamelodi Sundowns, but they have not yet won a game in the DStv Premiership. Sibongiseni has been having a look at them. Is it same old, same old? Can't score? Conceding stupid goals? Same old, same old?
It seems to be a copy and paste from last season. Mm. It hasn't been a great start. There's been games where you could see where it's going, but I feel that maybe the new players are not adapting quick enough. I feel that they could be doing more because I saw Pule Modi in one game. He was doing really well, but then in the last game, he was in and out of the game. Tutuzi Shabalala seems to be overwhelmed. Maybe they need to rest him a little bit until he adapts, because he was losing a lot of balls in the last game. And so, but you can see in terms of the tactics and the structure what Ntsegi wants to do, but it's going to take time. And unfortunately for him, he doesn't have that luxury with the Kaizer Chiefs supporters.
Yeah, conservative approach, just to add on what you said from the coach. And I think sometimes it confuses the players because if you look at it, they sit so deep that sometimes even their box entries, they are late in arriving. A guy like Ashley Dupree sometimes has to hold up the ball and wait for support. And I think for me, like you're saying, it will take time. But maybe you've been kind because at the moment, I just don't understand where the coach is going or how he's trying to set up his team. Albeit maybe because the season is new and he has new players that he needs to integrate into the system. But so far, I'm just not convinced yet. Barring the new signings, Castillo, I think he has been a live wire for the team so far. But it's not looking good, unfortunately, but let's give the coach time. Maybe he has something up his sleeve.
Yeah, and another thing I think that Ntsegi may be getting wrong is that he has a game plan for cup games and a game plan for the league. Mm. But the season has just started, so it sort of confuses the players when you change so much. You know, this week you are playing a cup game and you are changing the style, and then the next 3 days later you're playing a league game and it changes again. So they need to adapt to one style first, and then you can start establishing another plan for how you play games as they go. But you need to have, as they want to say at Kaizer Chiefs, the Kaizer Chiefs way of playing that you stick to, that you play with in every game.
Yeah, I mean, they go on and on about that, but what is the Kaizer Chiefs way of playing? I mean, it used to be maybe in the 70s and 80s or whenever Kaizer Motaung started the club, they had a very glamorous way of playing football, but that hasn't been around for a long time, has it? I mean, I haven't seen them play exciting football for a long, long time.
Yeah, Jonty, I mean, it's a very good point that you make. And I think also the Kaizer Chiefs way is also taking the game to your opponent and not sitting back like we've seen them do so early in the season. And also, one thing that I have seen from Ntsegi is that when he gives Ashley Dupree a leading role, that's where the team actually plays, because he's their leading goal scorer from last season. But you find that even in the game against Sundowns, he had him and Ranga up front, and you quite couldn't understand who was supposed to take a leading role there. But as soon as Ranga went off and when they got the equalizer, Ashley Dupree actually looked dangerous all by himself with the pace and probing up front. So I think he also needs to be clear in his approach and also needs to be clear with his players so that they know the roles that they have to play. But as far as the Kaizer Chiefs way is concerned, John, if you remember under Stuart Baxter, he was also criticized on how they played sometimes. But then the difference is that they were winning games. You'd score two goals and put Morgan Gold and they'd close up at the back and they won the league. And actually nobody I cared because they were winning and they at that time. So I think even with the new coach, if he picks up a couple of good results, fans won't care. Even the game against Cape Town City, it wasn't a, one would say, champion football, yeah. But they won and fans were happy. So bottom line is that what matters the most is the scoreline, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and they have brought in a new striker who's coming, well, work permit pending, he's coming over.
Yep.
Which one of you wants to say his first name?
Jason'd.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Jason'd. They've cut the front
want,
of it.
I don't want to read the Wi-Fi password.
F-Mam. It does read a bit like a Wi-Fi password. F-Mam Jason'd Gonzalez Palacios, 24-year-old. Sort of fairly average-looking goal-scoring record if you look at his stats. Yeah. And Chiefs do have a habit of signing overseas players who don't necessarily work out as well as they do at clubs like Sundowns.
Yeah.
Do you think this guy will be a guy who works out? It's very hard to tell, obviously, with not knowing too much about him.
My worry is that we've seen Kaizer Chiefs failing to scout locally. They haven't been scouting excellent players locally. We know that they used to get good players from Zimbabwe, but they don't anymore because the last few they got were just average players, not Kaizer Chiefs material. So if they go and scout overseas, then I don't think it will work. But it's worked with Castillo, so hopefully this one will also be a hit because we've seen them. They brought Paez, Maleven, remember him? And he was a flop. And there have been a few after that one so as well that didn't work out. So they've also brought in your Kamboles from Zambia. They didn't work out. I think the last one that worked out was Samir Nukovic. So let's hope that Gonzalez is also successful and is a hit.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. Hopefully he can get his work permit because Chiefs clearly do need something in attack. They've got Amazulu this Saturday. That's almost certainly too soon for Gonzalez, but maybe Chiefs can get a result home to Amazulu. I think Mr. Gumby will be off to their media day a bit later. And he'll see what the mood's like in the camp there. I know there was obviously a lot of controversy. They've also been charged by the PSL for their fans throwing missiles at people, which is never a good sign for a head coach when they start doing that. Okay, let's move on. Mamelodi Sundowns, I think we'll do next thing, as we've got Mr. Mamelodi Sundowns for us anyway, Cadleo in the studio. It's just carrying on where they left off. Not necessarily convincing wins, but wins all the same. Won every game so far.
Give them their league.
And people are basically saying,
give them
we might as well do the trophy presentation soon because
give them the
nobody
of
else.
Honor,
I mean, even Pirates, who we'll touch on in a minute, but they, you know, they've even slipped up already, dropping points, and you know, it just looks like who's going to care? I mean, SuperSport, maybe your other Chwani tied SuperSport that seem looking most equipped to maybe give Sundown some sort of race. Is it too? It's obviously too early to really say, but. You know, it is looking pretty ominous, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's too early, Jonty, like you say. But I was actually reading a stat that's crazy. That is the first time they've won, I think, their first three games in the league since 2010. And already people are saying that they're not as convincing. So imagine what happens when they do hit good form and they, you know, step it up a notch a little bit. But I think what's been impressive from a Sundowns point of view is that they were not happy after the first two games with conceding. I mean, they started with the 2-1 win over Skukune, and there was the 2-1 win over Chiefs. And one thing that the coach was at pains to address was the fact that he's not happy with giving away goals. And if you check in their last three games, the narrow 1-0 win over Swallows in the MTN 8, and there was that, was it a 4-0 drubbing of Golden Arrows? And then also they won their last game 2-0. So I think you can tell that they're a team that's improving. They're also shutting down at the back. And most of the time, if Sundown scores more than two goals, they should be able to win a game of football, especially in South Africa that they've dominated. And I think teams should be worried that Sundowns have not yet hit their stripes yet, but they're still getting results like this. I mean, they've won all five of their games this season. So, yeah it's hard to argue with anyone that says that they will not defend their crown.
But I feel that one defeat could collapse Sundowns. The way they play, it's like they are starting a new thing and they're not really getting it right. So it could collapse. I feel that there's something that's missing there that's not working out. But what I like is that I've seen an improvement in the relationship between the coaches. We've recently seen Mangoba and Rulani talking, and we've heard rumors that they were knocker heads at some point or something like that, or the other was not happy with working with the other. But the last two games, I've seen them talking, and you could see the changes that happened after they had that talk. And we saw that Mangoba was signaling that maybe the wings were not effective enough, and that, and it started to work. So if they can get that to work, then I think it will work, because if there's tension in the team at any level of the team, then there's going to be problems if there's somebody that's not happy. So if everyone is bought into the into the team and into the same belief, then yeah, it will work. But that's why I'm saying I feel that at the moment, if they get, if they suffer just one defeat,
it collapses.
It collapse. It could collapse.
But Bo, wait before we get eaten alive with that. Now, is that if you look at their box entries, no, they've been good. They miss a lot of chances. And even like the game against Chiefs, they let Chiefs off the hook. So now imagine a clinical Sundowns, because sometimes we look at the results column and we said, okay, maybe they win in 2-1 and all of that. And we're saying, no, maybe they're not as effective. Okay, fine. But they're still getting the wins. And to the opposite of what you're saying, I think that 4-0 win against, who are they playing?
Arrows.
Golden Arrows. Yeah. Might just be a catalyst, or it might just have opened doors for them to get more goals. Because at this point, even when they are wobbly, no one looks like can, you know, deliver a knockout punch. Teams just sort of back off, and they just sort of, okay, this Sundowns, and they, you know, they are expected to win, and we're not going to pose much of a challenge to them. So as much as you're saying one win might collapse them, but then realistically, who do you see that has went toe-to-toe with them recently? I mean, Orlando Pirates was a good example of a team that went toe-to-toe with Sundowns last season, but then you hardly ever see that in the PSL.
Yeah, but teams freeze, eh? When they face Sundowns, they freeze, because even Pirates, in the league games, they just freeze because they know that Sundowns is going to dominate the game. But in a cup game, you know that you just need to score one goal and just defend and try to surprise them. So when it comes to the league, teams freeze, because I felt that Chiefs could have beaten Sundowns or could have got out with a draw. But you could see the mistakes from the goalkeeper, that he just wants to hurry things so much that he doesn't want Sundowns to have the ball or whatever. So they have that anxiety, and it works against them when they see Sundowns. I was just speaking to a colleague just now who was wearing a Sundowns jersey, saying that he should not be allowed to wear that at work, because some people will not now work because they see this team that everybody's afraid of. But Sundowns have earned that. They've worked hard for that, to be in that status that when whoever they meet, you know, has anxiety, you know. I'm not really convinced in terms of the way I expect them to play.
Still,
because of how they played last season, how comfortable they were with possession.
I feel
that they are a little bit faster this season. They are not holding on to the ball enough to
make
it passes and be fluid. They just hurry to go and score and score. But you worry then that if Ribeiro gets injured, who's going to score?
Because Shalulile.
I think the system is not really involving Chalulile.
Modiba, Maema, they've got so many goal scorers from everywhere.
Everywhere, and also you have to look at the
pitch. They're too fast for me. That's the problem. I'm not saying they are bad, but in terms of what I expect from Sundowns, from what they've gotten us used to, it's not what we are used to. Maybe it's good. It's a good change for them, because it didn't work for them in the Champions League, how they play. So maybe they are trying a new strategy that encompasses other systems of play, that if you need to just win a game, you just win a game. You don't need to play well, you just need to win.
I think there's hope. And I think what I'm saying is every neutral would hope there'd be some sort of title race this season. It does get a bit boring if Sundowns just dominate and there's no one else in it. But it is looking ominous for me. Because they, like you said, they're not even playing that well, but they're still winning football matches and picking up 3 points.
All five games.
Okay. Yeah. They've won every game. So, it's hard to, because I think they'll only get better. And it's going to be very difficult for the rest unless they can put some consistency together. We saw Pirates do it in the second half of last season. But again, they started a little bit slowly, but I still think they'll be the main challenger. Looking at Pirates, they've obviously had some bad performances. they did win in the Champions League on the weekend. They got an away win in Comores, just 1-0. And La Paz, we can talk a bit about Zakaria La Paz, because obviously he's now, Hugo Bruce sort of brought him into the Bofana squad and said, well, this guy can't get a game for his club and he doesn't understand why.
Yeah.
La Paz is now getting a regular game for Pirates. He scored a hat trick. He scored against, in that game, he scored in that game in the Comores. He scored, you know, he's scoring goals. But I also saw an article of him having to be defended from criticism, which I find a little bit absurd.
No, that was because of some things he said on social media.
Was it something he said?
So I just think he needs to stay off social media for a while and focus on his football, because
bring us up to speed.
Those people are very cruel. I can't recall what he said, but it was something that made people believe that maybe he wants out of Pirates. So they said, if you don't want to be here, then go. Like those kind of things. So yeah, I think he needs to just shut that out for the season and just focus on his job and forget social media, because it's going to distract him. Because I think it was before that game where he scored 2 goals against Royal AM, and I think he was trying to prove to them that, okay, I'm loyal, I'm here, I want to score here, you know, because so that's maybe why you understand some clubs when they say their players should not be on social media.
I think with La Paz, for me, one thing that I've always been critical of when it comes to him is that sometimes he does come across as being too overconfident. And sometimes being overconfident is not a bad thing, but then he needs to also back it up. Because also if you look at his stats and the confidence that he talks about, they don't back the stats don't back up what he says most of the time.
The numbers
The numbers don't. And he's gotten off to a good start.
He overhypes himself.
He's gotten off to a good start this season. And you just want him to knuckle down and just, you know, block out the noise from outside and just keep going. So, and I think if that happens, he might be able to be a player that Pirates can depend on. And it's interesting what Kevin Hunt said about him and how you use him. And I've actually seen more of that since he came back at Pirates. And he was saying that La Paz, for him, he struggles to play with a twin striker up front. If you play him as the only striker up front, then his runs are also good, because if he has someone, he doesn't know which space to occupy and where to run. But when he's alone, he says, you're likely to get, you know, more out of him. And that's something that I've seen at Pirates. And if you also look at the goals, particularly I think the second one he scored against Royal AM, where, you know, he was alone up front and that long ball being played in. So I'm thinking maybe they've also seen how to use him and how to get the best out of him. And yeah, let's see what the season has in store.
My worry about Pirates is how fast they are, though.
In terms of what, going forward?
Every ball, they just run forward. I feel sometimes you need to slow the game down and just play. But I guess then because they have fast players, because you have Saleng, you have the new guy from SuperSport, he's also good.
Masanga,
he's also fast.
Yeah.
He's skillful. He likes running with the ball. You've got Ratomo as well.
Yeah.
But I think for not Ratomo, he's Mofokeng now.
I
think for him to be more effective, he needs players that will calm the game down, you know. But maybe when Miguel's team comes back, then they can get that, because I think Monare is struggling to control the tempo of the game. He also just gets with the flow and also starts running and playing passes too quickly, you know, short passes quickly, quick passes, and forward they go. And like you were saying with Chiefs, that at some point there'll be that gap in midfield where if you play against a team like Sundowns, they will punish you, because they'll occupy that space where you are trying to, where you're leaving the vacuum and just take you on from there, because if you are too fast.
And I don't know if you've noticed this with Pirates, right? After they take the lead or when they have control of the game, it's like they don't know if they should go for more. They don't know if they should check. Because you don't really understand what's going on. You don't know if it's coming from the coach, but he's saying after games that, no, he wanted you'd want more goals from his team. So I think they also need to fix that on how you manage certain games, because against better teams, if you don't manage the game well, you might lose points where you're not supposed to.
Yeah, and they'll miss a lot of chances because of how fast they are. Because I saw in the game they played in Comoros, I managed to watch it on Facebook. I think they could have won that game 9-0. But there was a point where Saleng beat the defenders, beat the goalkeeper, hit the ball off target. You know, because, and also, Zakaria La Paz had a clear goal Harit is short, went wide. You know, I don't know what they are hurrying, because you've got control of the game. You've got 80% ball possession. Why are you so running, always running to score?
They just need to
wait for you there. Because those guys were just waiting there, and their goalkeeper was very good. Maybe Kaiser Chiefs should look at him, because they seem to be struggling with the goalkeeper.
They definitely need a keeper.
He did stand up against Pirates, because...
But they've signed keepers now. They signed Buthelezi.
No, that's Pirates.
No, that's Pirates. He's saying Chiefs. I was saying they definitely need a backup keeper.
Peterson is struggling.
Yeah. No. I'm not convinced. And it's crazy that I'm saying this, but he's been one of their better players this season in terms of pulling off saves that you think that should have been in. But having said that, it's not someone that you can rely on.
But the problem is that he's a typical goalkeeper that... He will make good saves and then concede very silly goals
that make
you lose hope.
Yeah, I think you can't depend on him. The bottom line for me is that he can't be your number two.
Maybe if they take off the responsibility of being the captain, maybe that could help.
That's actually a good point.
Sometimes being a captain is an overburden for some players. Because now suddenly, because remember, John, we were speaking about Tim last year, that he is not communicating enough. So now as captain, he's forced to communicate not only with his own players, but also with the referees and make sure that the game is... So it's too much responsibility for him, because he first needs to learn to communicate with his defenders and his players and shout at them and tell them where to be and all of that, you know. But he's still not doing it, but he's a captain now, so maybe they're overburdening him. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I would have given the armband, and I said this to one of my friends, to say, Chiefs, I would have given the armband to De Klerkwe. He's a captain of Botswana as well. Yes, he's new in the team, but then if you see that this guy is the one that can get us over the line and try bringing that leadership at the back, I would have given him the armband.
Or even given Simango.
Yeah. I mean,
he was captain as well.
It's also not a bad choice.
Because
I'm going to interrupt you there, but yeah, good thoughts on the Chiefs' captaincy.
Yeah,
they're the most popular team in the country, and somehow the conversation turned back to them there.
We're talking about Pirates.
We're talking about Chiefs. I'm sure Pirates fans.
No,
would
I was
love
just
that.
Recommending a but, goalkeeper.
La Paz, he's got a lot of goals. I think he's got 6 goals already this season in all competitions. But to back up, I think it was Ketlejo's point. He's already well on target for his record scoring tally for a season in the PSL, and we're only a few games in. And Pirates are playing Jabal on Friday, so there's definitely an opportunity for him to score more goals on Friday evening. So good luck to Pirates in that one. I'm sure they'll make it through to the next round.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Where they'll probably play, it looks like, Botswana's Jwaneng Galaxy for a place in the group stages. So to finish off, I think we'll go to SuperSport United, because they have made an incredibly impressive start to the season under Gavin Hunt. Solid as a rock at the back. Ime Okon, just 18 years old, has made the Bafana squad, which we were talking about a little bit earlier. Maybe a bit early, but... they just look very strong. I mean, they've lost players. They keep losing players to Sundowns. Tapela Moseko went to Sundowns. They keep losing top talent, but they just seem to have Sherwin Campbell's come in and done very well. They just seem to be able to bring a player in who can almost just slot instantly into that position and do almost as well.
Yeah, I think with SuperSport is that they stick to what they know. They've always been a selling club, if we're going to be honest, more so now that they sell to their neighbors, which people always point that out. But
mock them for.
Yeah, they mock them for that. But I think they've always stuck to their plan, and that is to produce from within and sell. And then if there is a player on the market that they think can add value, they do go out and get them, but they hardly ever break the bank for players. I mean, look at the players they've lost. Sbo was mentioning Maswangani went to Pirates. He's already one of their, star performers this season so far. Tapelo Maseko has also put in some good shifts at SuperSport United. Sundowns. And look at Campbell that has come in, did well with the DDC team. But then he's also doing well. I think he got man of the match against Richards Bay in the first game. He has slotted in very well, and I think Kevin Hunt was actually not happy with not getting him for certain training sessions, saying that he's still in school. But you wouldn't say. Look at Ime Okon. He's also selected to the prelim squad for Bafana. So I think with SuperSport, for me, I was never worried when they were selling. I just knew that they will have a plan to fall back on, because even the money that they will have gotten from the transfer, you've seen they've reinvested in some of the players that they've brought in, like Nange, and Jovu came from Pirates on a permanent deal, having been on loan last season.
And Margaman the same. Yeah.
So I was never...
And Chukamanja.
yeah. Don't let Gavin hear you say that. But I think, Jonty, just to wrap up, I was never worried about SuperSport. I mean, that's how they operate. They sell, they promote from within. And I'm sure whatever they did, they will have had a plan on how to recover. And so far, it's looking good in how they started. I mean, even Siyanda Xulu was a big signing for me. Snatched him right under AmaZulu's noses. So yeah, let's see what can come out of their season. Kevin Hunt, even this season, is also saying that the league is the most important competition. So I think they'll be in the top four when the season ends this season.
And obviously they've got the Confederation Cup to play in, so
we'll see how the squad manages that. And the good thing for SuperSport is that Gavin Hunt is a coach that you want to play for.
No, totally, yeah.
He's a lovely character. You remember when we were at the MTN 8 launch, when he came late? He didn't understand that the thing was live, and they hadn't told the audience that he had come late. Yeah. So when he introduces himself, he apologizes for being late, and I'm sure people watching on TV were like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah. You know, cracks a joke,
but he cracked jokes, and you know, it shows that he is the kind of coach that players are comfortable playing with. That's why Zakelele Pasa maybe wanted to remain there at some point, because he's a coach that even if he doesn't play you, he'll tell you where you need to improve for him to play you, and he'll play you the way you are comfortable to play.
Yep.
Do you agree with my top four prediction, though? Do you think they'll be in the top four come the end of the season?
I think so. Why not? They could be even number two.
Wow. Okay.
Well, Gavin's won four league titles. Don't forget that.
So I think for me, the most competition that I'm looking forward to is relegation, because there seem to be a lot of candidates just early on in the season saying, okay, we can take this.
We can take... Is this a trophy?
Especially... they're taking one for the team, you know.
Are they aspiring to this?
You know, the KZN, two from KZN, unfortunately.
Well, there's one team from KZN, that seems to be in... Two dropping itself into relegation.
Royal AM and Richards Bay.
Well, I'm talking more about Royal AM, who seem also keen on just flouting the rules of football and not... And just, you know, I don't know what they're doing with that transfer ban and the whole situation with Nurkovic.
They just need to pay and move on.
I mean, I'm sure that Sean Mkhize has the money, so just, pay
she
it.
She just needs to pay and move on, because
they
did the same thing with the case with Sekhukhune United. And when it came to finality and they lost, they didn't like that we reported that they had lost, because they had spent a lot of money fighting a case that they should have just let go. And even now, they're still trying to fight, because now they are making new representations to go and say, no, but Samir didn't tell us that he was injured when he came. We thought that he had just gotten a light knock and would recover and all of that. And it's going to take them a lot of time. And then it was their responsibility to do a medical in the first place and check how big the injury is, or not the player to tell them. No player would go and say, hey, the way I'm injured, I'm going to be out for 6 months. Because then you don't sign him. So...
I mean, and also everybody else.
It was through their own carelessness that they signed an injured player.
I mean, everybody else to me seems to understand that if you go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and they tell you, no, sorry, you've got no case, then you may as well give up, because there's nowhere else to go.
And I think they should have also learned. Yeah, they should have learned from Kaiser Chiefs, basically. I don't want to go back to Kaiser Chiefs, but they should have learned.
Over their transfer ban.
Exactly, because I don't see them getting out of this one. And you also don't need the off-field distractions, especially if you're trying to also maintain your status in the league. And they haven't started well either.
And I think their strategy almost worked. If only they had gone to CAS just maybe 2 days before the transfer deadline ends. And for that period of 2 days when it was suspended, because they had made an application to CAS, they would have signed players and the window would have closed, and they can't go back and say no. But they wasted those 2 days because they didn't sign anyone when it was suspended. And then CAS again said no.
But my understanding is they can still, unlike Chiefs who were banned, they can still get out of it. They just have to pay Nurkovic. I mean, if And you can't tell me that they don't have the money to pay.
But they had the deadline to pay, and they had been paid with that budget within that deadline. So the ban now is stands until they pay every cent of it. They can't now negotiate with Nokovic to say, okay, we're going to pay you maybe $3 million quarterly and we finish. So now they need to just pay the entire thing, which I think by now is running close to $13 million, if not above.
Okay. Well, we've hit our time limit. Thanks to Katlego and Sibon Guseni for coming in and giving us their wise words. We'll see how their predictions pan out as the season goes on.
Only gave one prediction.
Only gave one SuperSport top four, to be fair. Let's just put that on record and leave the rest. Please do follow us on Twitter at Picardy with 3 A's. Like us on Facebook. That's at Picardy with 3 A's as well. And do get your copy of the Bugatti supplement free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.